You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Making Christmas Merry by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
I'm not going to preach the Christmas story, but I want to use it as the backdrop. And so that would take us to Luke, the second chapter. Luke gives us probably the most exhaustive details or summary about the what we have come to term the Christmas story. Luke 2, let's start at verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, referencing Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I want to speak today briefly from the subject, Making Christmas Merry. Making Christmas Merry. That word merry, it means to be full of cheerfulness. It means to liveliness. It means good feelings. There's an old word that we don't use in this 21st century. We were watching a movie the other night. For those of you who know The Preacher's Wife, the movie The Preacher's Wife, before there was Preacher's Wife, there was a movie made in 1947 called The Bishop's Wife. That's The Preacher's Wife is a remake of the... Did you know that, Brother Sean? It's a remake, modern-day African-American version of the original, which was called The Bishop's Wife. And in The Bishop's Wife, when Dudley came around and made them everything good, he said, I'm feeling quite gay today. See, we don't use that term anymore. Some of y'all say, why would anybody say that? In the last century, it did not have the meaning that means today. Gay meant happy. It meant lively. Okay? It meant cheerful. It meant merry. This word merry is marked by or offering fun, good feelings, liveliness. It means to be festive. It's kind of thoughts that you have when you hear that song. Celebrate good times. Come on. Okay? You know, it makes you want to dance and celebrate. That's what the word merry means. And yet, we always hear people say, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Or wishing you a Merry Christmas. And when children, usually children, they don't know any other song for Christmas. They know two songs. They know Jingle Bell. And they know We Wish You a Merry Christmas. A couple years ago, we had our little children up here. And they were singing Wish You a Merry. And then they got to the verse. They said, Wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish. Everybody knows that part. Okay? But the fact that somebody has to wish you a Merry Christmas means just because it's Christmas time, it doesn't automatically mean you're going to be merry. Because Mary is a, first of all, it's a condition of the heart. It's not of conditions or circumstances. Okay. Mother Bailey, my aunt who went to be with the Lord 5 years ago, I really didn't remember exactly how long it was until her nephew on her side of the family put something on Facebook this week and had her picture that we used at her funeral and on her, you know, on her obituary card that was given to people. And it said, "Auntie, you've been gone for 5 years and I still miss you like it was yesterday." And when I saw it, it messed me up for a moment. There is not a day that goes by that I don't think about Mother Bailey, who the church knew as Mother Bailey, or I knew as Aunt Bertha. Okay. For all practical purposes, my mother died when I was 20 years old in college, and I had her longer than I had my natural mother. Okay. And for all practical purposes, she served as my children's grandmother. It is not a day that goes by that I don't think about her in terms of her impact and her love and her smile and her wit and her humor and all that. And I have good feelings when I think about her. I hadn't thought about her death or her funeral until somebody put that out on Facebook. When I came to South Carolina, I'm trying to talk about your families. I'm just trying to encourage you, okay, especially this Christmas time. I saw families who get together, all the family get together on the day somebody died. I don't understand that. You say you want to remember that person. Can I recommend to you, get together on their birthday. Celebrate that they lived, not that they died. Because can I tell you this? If they knew the Lord from their perspective, they ain't regretting nothing. If they with the Lord, death is hard on us. It's hard on those of us who remain here. It's not hard on them because it's far better for them. Paul says, for us, it's better that our loved ones stay with us. Okay. And so, and I had to get myself together because while Pastor Marcy, I practice being sacrificial. I don't know if you realize it. You know, I'm practicing being sacrificial. Can I tell y'all something? All the hustle and bustle of the malls, I can't stand it. The traffic, I can't stand it. The best thing that happened to me is internet shopping. Oh, bless. The best thing that happened after Jesus and the Holy Ghost and Marcy Bailey is Amazon. Y'all ain't hearing me here. And Prime too. I got Prime. And then I found I had videos with it. I came up and said, "You got your..." I said, "I got videos too? Glory to God." And so, really, I finished my Christmas shopping, right after Thanksgiving. We was done. Everything came to the house, shipped there. And Pastor Mark, she just likes the hustle and bustle. She said, "I'm going to run out to Home Goods. I'm going to run out to the mall. I'm going to run out of here. I'm going to run out to Publix." And she come home, "I forgot something. I'm going to run back." I'm like, how much of this running you got to do? Don't you? I said, and then some of it I realized, I said, she didn't forget. She just want to get back out there. And then finally she said, "You know, I really enjoy the hustle and bustle and the malls and people being around and running into people and everybody saying Merry Christmas." And so she comes, she will come to me and say, you want to go to the mall with me? It's like when my mother used to ask me, "Do you want to run to the store for me?" You know, she already know the answer. But and I look how my eyes get big. And she said to me, "Well, you don't have to go. You don't have to go." And I said, "Well, let me. I'm gonna go because I'm practicing being sacrificial. I'm very serious about that. I'm practicing because of God. The Bible said I'm supposed to love my wife the way Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. It was a sacrificial love. This is coming, brother. I want to help you. So a sacrificial love is not just doing what I want to do. Some things I do because I'm a companion, and some things I do just to make her happy. Okay, and then I'll go to certain places. Y'all ever notice there's a men's section in the mall? It's a men's section. It's where all the men who just don't want to be there, they're all sitting right there. And I'll walk up to them. I say, is this the men's section? A couple of them look at me like, what's because you wear, it's where all the ones who, especially here at this mall, before, as you walk in, they got some seats over on the side. All the men, they say. And people are wishing people a Merry Christmas. Merry is not automatic. Merry is a condition of the heart, not of your circumstances. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, when you got saved, for with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth his confession is made unto salvation. So you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. Watch this, salvation on anything. That's how you get manifestation of anything. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. So if you're going to have a Merry Christmas, you got to first believe, you're going to have Merry in your heart, and you're going to have to confess it with your mouth. And you, because with the heart, man believeth. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, as he thinketh where? In his heart, so is he. As you think, so are. If you think depressed, you depressed. You think defeated, you defeated. Okay? You ever see people from most general practical standpoint, most people might think that they unattractive from your standpoint, but when you look at them the way they can, so you can tell ain't nothing about them that they think they unattractive. Sometimes you be looking at folks, you be looking like, I can't believe they wore that, and they think you looked at them like, you like that, don't you? It's just how they think. You can't be fault somebody for thinking they got it going on. Come on now. It's something. Listen, self-esteem is just that. It is self-esteem. I heard somebody say this here. It really got me thinking about it. It said nobody can give you self-esteem. Self-esteem is self-esteem. Some of y'all get that later. It's how you esteem yourself. It don't matter what other people say about you. It don't matter how people look at you. It doesn't matter what people put about you on Facebook or social media. If you got self-esteem, it's how you think of yourself. So if you're going to have a Merry Christmas and make Christmas merry, you first have to start with a merry heart. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And a broken spirit dries the bones. This proverb often would contrast two principles or contrast two ways of looking at life. Contrast the natural from the supernatural or the spiritual. Contrast heaven from earth. And so here he's contrasting the merry heart versus the broken spirit. The merry heart was like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So you're going to have to make up your mind, even during Christmas, whether you're going to have a broken spirit or a merry heart. If I meditated on the fact that Aunt Bertha is no longer with me here, okay? I showed a picture of her the other day to my granddaughter. I said, you remember? She said, no. And she was a little girl. She don't remember, okay? And so certain things that my children are accomplishing, I wish she was here to see. I wish my natural mother was here to see. If I just meditate on that, I'll have a broken spirit. So you determine whether you have a broken spirit or a merry heart. You choose what type of heart you're going to have at Christmas and every day. You choose what kind of heart you have. Bible talks about several kinds of heart. First kind of heart, the Bible talks about a heavy heart. A heavy heart. We call it depression. The Bible also calls it a spirit of heaviness. A spirit of heaviness. We call it depression. The Bible calls it a spirit of heaviness and tells us what to do to get out of it. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I was watching a couple weeks ago in between service. Bishop Jake Sturvis starts at our 10 o'clock hour. It's there 9 o'clock hour. And he said, it seemed a little dead in here. He said, I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to change your garments. Come on, I'm going to give you a couple minutes to change your clothes. Well, before we move on further, sir, I'm going to give you a couple. And what he was saying, you got to change your clothes. You got to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaven. You got to take that spirit of heaviness off and put the garment of praise on. I know some of y'all don't understand when Pastor Marsha or we come into the service. And every time she get up there, she talking about, say hallelujah, shout hallelujah. God been good. No, we just trying to get you change your clothes. Come up in here with that heavy spirit. Thinking about your bills. Thinking about someone who's no longer here. Thinking about something you got to do and you don't know how you're going to get it done. Thinking about something that somebody said to you. Thinking about just somebody that left you. Come up here singing country music. Somebody asked a question, what do you get when you play country music backwards? Get your car back, your pickup back, your rifle back. You get it all, your dog, you get it all back. We're trying to get you put on the garment of praise. Get rid of that heavy heart. Now, some of you wonder why people drink so much. Here's the answer from the scripture, Proverbs 31:6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Okay. Get it over with. Go down. And wine unto those that be of what kind of heart? A heavy heart. Mm-hmm. That's why some of y'all, ask your neighbor, say, is that why you drink? Is that why you drink? You trying to perish. You got, why your heart so heavy? Okay. Now, but keep reading. Here's another reason why people drink. Let him drink and forget his poverty. Now, I want to let you know this. If you poor and you drinking, then, it ain't getting better. Now, let me help you. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Now, let me help you understand this. So if you broke and now you spend money to drink, you just got broke while you was drunk. It doesn't help. Okay. He said, let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So some people, rather than making their heart merry by how they think, they choose to anesthetize themselves, try to inoculate themselves through drugs and alcohol, but it doesn't change the situation. So you got to choose not to have a heavy heart. Secondly, you can have a troubled heart. The Bible talks about having a troubled heart. In John, but Jesus said this in John 14:1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." So the solution to me having a troubled heart is to believe in God and to believe in Jesus. That's an act of my will. Y'all remember after Jesus was resurrected, I know I'm mixing holidays here. but after Jesus was resurrected, he appeared before his disciples. And the first time, Thomas wasn't there. And so they said, "Thomas, you should have been here. We have seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "Right. Unless I see him with my own eyes, put my hands in his hands and thrust my hands in his side," he said, "I will not believe." That tells me you got a choice whether you're going to believe or not. He said, "I will not believe." And some people refuse to believe. I can't make you believe. All I can do is preach the word. Preach the facts. It's up to you to believe it. You got to put your own belief mechanism in gear. You have to turn your own faith switch on. I can't make you believe. All I can do is teach you the word. All I can tell you what the Bible says. I can't make you believe it. Can I tell you, I didn't always understand that. Especially in the early days of ministry, I would preach, and I know I was preaching a good word, and I would make an altar call, and sometimes I preach a 100% evangelistic message, and I would make the altar call, nobody would come to the altar, and I would feel bad. I said, "Lord, I preach, and folks not believing, folks," and then I read that Jesus also preached, and it said, "And some believe, and some believe not." Then I read that Paul preached all day, convincing them out the scriptures, and some believe and some believe not. So then I realized that this ain't on me, it's on them. The greatest preacher that ever lived, Jesus, if he can preach and some believe and don't believe, and if Paul can preach and some believe and don't believe, then Herb gonna preach and some gonna believe and some. I don't get upset because you don't believe. I realize you are forfeiting God's best for you because you refuse to believe. So Jesus said the solution to not having a heavy heart is to believe in God and believe also in me. Believe what? Believe I'm going to come out of this. Believe what? Believe it's going to get better. Believe what? Believe that I'm not going to stay in this situation. Believe what? Believe that God got a plan for my life. Believe Believe what? Believe that something's happening behind the scene. Believe what? Believe that angels are ascending right now. Believe what? Believe that the blood still works. Believe what? Believe that he was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of my peace upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Somebody say, I believe all that. That's what's going to cause you not to have a troubled heart. And then Jesus goes on to say in John 14, 27, he said, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not like the world, that temporary stuff. But I give I unto you. So he says it again, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So during Christmas time, no matter what has happened, no matter who has died, no matter what it looked like, you lost. As a pastor, you need to understand it. As a pastor, this really hit me, what, about 2-3 years ago? I said, God, this is too much. We had several people in our church experienced tremendous loss. And at the same time, other people just got married. People experience loss, and at the same time, somebody else in the church just had the birth of a child. And I couldn't get stuck in any of their situations. Then I understood what the Bible said. You got to rejoice with them, rejoice, and you got to mourn with them that mourn. If you want to know how to pray for me, pray that God gives your pastor the grace to be there for everybody in their situations. Because let me tell you something, because people put a lot on us. Oh, if we ain't there right, Lord Jesus, oh, some of y'all know, and Pastor Marsh had to help me with this thing. I said, honey, we did everything we could for those people. And Pastor Marsh had to help me. She said, you need to understand something. You get up there and you preach every week about God. You preaching about Jesus. And so they can't directly get mad at God, so they get mad at you. Because you don't want every week talking about God. Like that sister told me years ago. She came to our church because she just had a miscarriage. Church and pastor where she was at, I know that's strong words, told her that I think you lost this baby because you out the will of God. That's why it's dumb and stupid. That's just dumb. I don't care if you even thought that. Pray. Certain things, don't even let it come out your mouth. That ain't going to help nobody. And so they were so grieved by that. And they came to our church. And you know, by then, everybody who came, we knew everybody came. And we would meet with people and have lunch with people, invite people to dinner. The things that y'all can still do, that we can't do with everybody, but y'all can still do it. Some of your early days, I always invite you out to dinner and taking you out. And so they told us about it. And I said, well, I believe with you. I said, you're going to have another child. I said, you're going to have a child. I gave a hope. You're going to have a child. She said, I'm not trying to have any more children. I said, you're going to have a child. The Lord told me to tell you, you're going to have a child. One day I get a call. Her husband asked me to come down to I was over here off of Old Bush River Road, doctor's office. They don't have a heartbeat. And I went in there and they said that she had miscarried. And I went to go pray for her. She looked at me and she grabbed me. Said, Pastor, you said, I'm going to have another child. You said it. And I looked at her with the same I said, and I still say, you're going to have a child. I wasn't trying to hear that. Then a couple years later, they had moved away. He was military. A couple years later, they called us and we met up with them, and they had this boy who was like five boys in one. That boy was all over the place. Yes, Lord. That boy was just all over the place. And I realized she was angry with me because I gave her the word of the Lord. And sometimes you got to understand that you my job is to keep you believing. Don't get mad at me because I'm going to keep preaching the word. I cannot get down with you in all of your misery. And come on, help me. I can't get down with you and say, yeah, that's right. Go ahead and give up. I can't be Mr. Gerber and tell you to curse God and die. I got to tell you that God still lives and you will live also.
There are times that the cheerful holidays may not seem so merry. Despite what may be under the tree or who may not be here, you can decide to have joy during this season. Bishop Herbert Bailey helps you to make this Christmas merry. Order this impactful message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE. Or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Making Christmas Merry.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.